You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any brights yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me, down by the cold creek. It don't matter if the poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, rubber's going out of sight.
Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-hosts Matt Upton and Greg Golikowski from Ross Fishing Forecast Services. We are rolling into the 9 a.m. hour of Real Talk Radio. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. Go ahead, give us a call. Send us a text, 239-337-3776. And so we were just getting ready to talk a little bit about tournament fishing and the role that your fishing forecast service plays in the tournament fishing world. Because we're talking about thousands, millions of dollars that are at stake in some of these billfish tournaments. So talk a little bit, Matt, about how the tournament anglers use your services and some of the results that have been experienced or seen based on folks using your services out there.
Yeah, tournament fishing is one of our specialties. A lot of clients use us for the fishing tournaments all around the United States and beyond. Bermuda, Hawaii.
We just had the winner of the Bisbee's.
We did have the winner in Bisbee's Cabo. That's a huge tournament out there. We're very proud of that. But a lot of clients use us to get the edge. They not only use our service, and they, you know, these tournaments run several days usually, so they will order our analysis every day for a week or more to follow the conditions, and they use our data. They use even some of our competitors' data. They want to get all the information they can to find that spot, the best conditions offshore to fish. And we've done really well with tournaments in the past. We've had thousands and thousands of winners through the last 30, 35 years we've been in business. And you know, each year we have, 600, 700, 800, 900 tournament winners or so.
Yep.
And a lot of the bigger tournaments up in the Northeast, Gulf of Mexico, Bahamas, We have a really good success rate with our clients winning these tournaments.
And we've had over 10,000
and testimonials.
Over 10,000 winners in the past 30 years major fishing tournaments. So
how do you guys, when you have someone who signs up for your service, they're fishing in a tournament, then when they come back from that tournament, they report back to you. How do you get the tournament data back to know?
There's a bunch of different ways. Some clients report. We try and check, you know, if they're posted on, a lot of them post results on social media, on their website.
Yeah.
You know, it's an ongoing task.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, like Matt said, this is what we know. You know, obviously I'm sure there's ones that, you know, we don't anymore post the winners list at the boat show. When we do the boat shows, we do, but you know, almost every year we would have guys come in that were looking for their pictures or looking to find their name on the winner's list. And then sometimes we would have guys come in the booth at the boat show and say, hey, you missed us. We're not on that winner's list. You know, so
I bet you guys see a huge surge or uptick in subscribers once one of your captains who's using your services wins a tournament.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they're telling their friends, right? They're telling fellow tournament anglers.
Word of mouth. That's our best marketing strategy. But yeah, one of the things I talked about before is we really have a unique relationship with a lot of fishermen that fish year in, year out, subscribe to our services, promote us. And we talk to them, especially in the Northeast, in certain parts of the United States, to get feedback, right? It helps us grow. It helps us learn. Where'd you catch this fish? What are the conditions looking like this year or this day? And it helps us with our forecast, helps us improve from time to time. But, you know, usually during the big tournaments, We don't hear much because they don't want to tell out much information. Some of our clients that fish, they don't say, "Oh yeah, I caught this huge marlin here." But afterwards, the fact they'll tell us what you know where they caught the fish, and it helps everybody out.
Yeah, and gives you verification.
Verification.
That,
yep.
That the data that you're providing is actually it's helping these people locate and catch fish in the areas where mm-hmm. you anticipated they would be. So talk a little bit about the fact that are there any other companies that do anything similar to what you guys do out there, or are you pretty unique?
We have a unique niche in the market because we actually provide a lot of the manpower and is oceanographers in-house that look at the imagery in the ocean conditions day to day, mm-hmm. and put all the details out there you need. Our service is a little bit more expensive, but we take the time. We have the client interaction, the feedback, and the client. I guess the client interaction that helps them out more than other services that can't call in. So a lot of our competitors. They give all the data that we use similar. We all use similar satellite data, similar parameters. But the angler has to figure out where to go themselves. Where we spend the extra time and tell them exactly where to go and why. So they're not wasting time the night before, the morning of, trying to figure out where to go.
Someone like Greg looking at the data and analyzing it and helping to translate to the angler
exactly
where the best areas are going to be to go and why.
And a lot of our clients are tournament fishermen, but you know, if you're just coming down to South Florida and mm-hmm. you want to go offshore fishing, you want to have a good experience offshore, you know, fun fishing, just give us a call or go on our website and We'll help you out.
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit about your range. So you have people who subscribe to your service from, you talked about way up in New England. So mm-hmm. they're fishing offshore all the way down through the Gulf, down through the Keys, into Mexico.
Bahamas,
Hawaii, Bermuda.
What about Australia?
We don't do Australia. We have the capability and the technology to do fishing analysis anywhere in the world.
We're doing something in Indonesia right now.
We do have a project going on in Indonesia for the last 8 months where we're helping their government and their fisheries track offshore guys that go offshore, mm-hmm. and they're getting into sustainability of the fish. They want these fish to come back year after year, and so they're trying, you know, a lot of those different countries now are in tune with fisheries and sustainability and conservation, and so we're helping this company out in Indonesia with trying to help their fishermen find, you know, near shore fishing conditions on a regular basis, so it'll give them a better opportunity to find fish.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the scope of what you all do extends out so much more. I mean, on the research side, on the commercial fishing side, on the recreational fishing side. And Matt, with you growing up in Michigan, how did you get interested in oceanography, and how did you get in touch with Rofs? Like, how did that connection come to be?
So I went to undergrad at the University of Michigan, so we also have a little bit of blue in our blood. But, and at the School for Engineering at Atmospheric, Oceanic, and Space Sciences, and I got interested in oceanography.
Mm-hmm.
Went to grad school out east at the University of Massachusetts for physical oceanography. I caught my first real job was after grad school was with Rofs down in Miami. So back then the main office was in Miami.
And that was how long ago?
That was in 2004.
Uh-huh.
I believe I started in Miami. We lived in Miami for 4 years, and then the founder, Dr. Mitchell Woffer, moved the company to Melbourne, and we moved back to Michigan. and where our family, and a lot of our friends were. And then, 5 years ago.
Yeah, Matt moved to Michigan, and I
and Greg stayed in Miami up until a year ago, or six months ago.
And then he moved to Melbourne.
Yeah, so, and you guys both get out and fish yourselves. So did you have a chance to get out before this front came through or before the storm at all?
No, actually, my son fishes a lot more than I do. Fortunate for him, unfortunate for me. I'm too busy trying to tell people where to fish. I don't fish as much as I like to.
Yeah, but how it always goes.
Yeah, I know. It's work. Work gets in the way of things, right?
That darn four-letter word.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and Greg, I mean, with you living here, how about you? Do you get a chance to take it out yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I try to as well, but a lot of times I'm doing photos.
More than
fishing. A lot of it's with fishing tournaments, you know, and has to do with fishing. But a lot of times, yeah, I'm working instead of.
So you do a lot of aerial photography from helicopters?
I do helicopter, aerial stuff, and tournament event photography too.
So give him your website there for endless imagery. So Greg has a side job when he's not working at Roth's. He does photos for fishing tournaments and other events.
I do a lot of stuff in South Florida, Blue Water Movements. I do all of their events. They do the tournament summer series in Pompano Beach and the Quest for the Crest sailfish series. We do some stuff. Now with Real Time USA.
Yep, Lenny Strobel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're analyzing a lot of fishing data, and you're taking a lot of pictures of people fishing. It's time for you to take a vacation, right, Greg?
Yeah.
Early February, late January, we went to Cabo San Lucas.
And we did fish.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Caught some mahi and striped marlin.
Nice. Matt's son caught a marlin with a broken arm.
With a broken wrist. Yeah.
I caught marlin.
Yeah, it was great.
It was fun.
It was awesome.
That is fantastic. Well, real quick, I just want to read off. So Captain Jim Fortman texted in with a quick report. He says, weather is great down here in the 10,000 Islands. The fish are chewing. Best bet is brown and gold jigs with plenty of scent. The water has been churned up from the wind the past 2 days. Cut mullet, ladyfish on the turn of the tides, tight lines, Captain Jim. And he sent in some pictures of, oh my gosh, father. It looks like two brothers with a nice snook on one of his last trips. So that's awesome. Thanks for texting in, Captain Jim. And Rick, it is that time.
It is that time. And even though he actually made an appearance here in the studio and delivered us a lovely key lime pie.
Yeah, he did. Gator Tom, thank
Crack
you.
Crack that key lime pie open.
Let's get that open here.
It's always a little unnerving when Gator Tom knocks at the back door, but, you know, if he's bringing pie,
right,
it's okay. But still, he's been harassing us about this, so this one's for you, Tom. Oops, look at that. I hit the wrong button. That's Dave Westra. Let's try this again.
Do over.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now, from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information.
This is the Beam Me Up, Scotty edition of useless information.
Beam Me Up, Scotty.
So this is for all the Trekkies
there. Well, that wouldn't be me, so.
Yeah, not me either. Star Wars, yes. Star Trek, not so much. But that's all right, because I know there's plenty of Trekkies out there.
Yes.
In the early episodes of Star Trek, Dr. McCoy's medical scanner was a salt shaker.
And like the prop, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, salt shaker. It was just a salt shaker. Moving nice. On to the fact that...
High-tech stuff there.
Right? And hey, if you need a little salt on your food for lunch,
take
it's
a break,
right there.
Right there.
There you go. Nice. Medical scanner / salt shaker.
Beautiful.
The initial T in Star Trek Captain James T. Kirk's name stands for Tiberius.
Tiberius?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tiberius.
If you had another son, you would name him Tiberius.
You know, that's funny because I'm a huge fan of the TV show Cheers.
Yeah.
And remember the character who played Woody Harrelson?
Yeah.
It was revealed his name was Woody Tiberius Boyd. So I wonder if maybe that was a nod to Star Trek.
It could have been.
It could have been.
Maybe it ties into the salt shaker. It sounds like Tiberius salt shaker. I don't know. That sounds like a good one.
Oh. All right. Last but not least, transporters are everywhere in Star Trek as the default mode of transportation to planets and ships. But money actually played a large role in the invention of the transporter. So the original series production budget was the main reason why the transporter was used in the show, because otherwise the production staff would have had to travel by, would have had to plan for travel by shuttlecraft and land the Enterprise on planets, which would have been a lot more expensive on their tight budget.
That's actually useful information, I'm afraid to tell you. Because, you know, if you're on a low budget, just invent something ridiculous, you know, and you're good to go, right? I mean, why create a spaceship and a planet when you can just build a transporter? Boom, you're there.
They didn't really have to build a transporter.
Well, you know,
it was just like special effects.
I understand.
Yeah.
So even better.
It's like the salt shaker.
Oh, that wasn't real?
That's right. That was good stuff.
Oh, yeah, there we go. So your Star Trek edition of useless information for today. And now moving on to Name That Species trivia.
Name That Species.
This is brought to you by Sportsman's Wholesale, Southwest Florida's largest discount tackle shop, now with two locations in Port Charlotte and Bonita Springs. Shop where the locals shop. And we're going to take the fifth caller or the first caller after that to get through to Rick with the correct answer. You win a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale if you can name the species based on my description. The number, 239-337-3776, 239-337-ESPN. Matt and Greg, you cannot answer this question.
That's right. You're not eligible.
You are not eligible to win. And do not text us. You must call the fifth caller or the first caller after that with the correct answer. So this saltwater native species has a blue back, brownish blue sides fading to a silvery white belly. The first dorsal fin is greatly enlarged, has black spots, is squared off in front, and is highest in the middle. Its lateral line curves over the pectoral fin. They can reach lengths of up to 11 feet. They inhabit offshore waters and are a rapidly growing species, often reaching 4 to 5 feet in the first year. They feed aggressively on small fish and squid. And off southeast Florida, this species moves inshore to shallow water and spawns near the surface during the summer months. The state record was 126 pounds caught near Big Pine Key. Bait fish that they feed on, blue runners, pinfish, mullet, ballyhoo, and squid, are best when targeting the species, known for their fast runs, acrobatic jumps, and head-shaking attempts to throw a hook. They are also, this is a big hint, Florida state saltwater fish. Name that species!
Name that species!
And with that, we're heading off to a break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back!
Filled up two shopping carts late last night. One was full of fishing gear, the other Miller Lite.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-hosts Matt Upton and Greg Golikowski from Ross Fishing Forecast Service. And we are rolling into the final half hour of Real Talk Radio. Phone lines are open, 239-337-3776. Text line as well, 239-337-3776. If you've got questions for Matt and Greg, go ahead and shoot us a text. And I know you guys are enjoying that key lime pie that Gator Tom dropped off there. So how does it feel to have a Publix Florida key lime pie again after quite some time? You don't get these all the time in Michigan, Matt.
No, we don't have key lime pie. It's not one of the staples there in Michigan, but apple pie is. But this brings back memories from when I lived in Florida years ago. It's good. Thank you. Thank you, Gator Tom.
Yeah. And how was that acclimating back to living in Michigan after living down here?
It took a while, but we love the four seasons up there. But it's nice to come down to Florida. We come down to Florida quite often now with the business.
Yeah. So you get down here enough to where you get a little break from the chilly weather during the winter months.
Yeah, whenever it gets too cold for too long.
You can take off. You can shed a few layers.
Oh, I think it's time to go to the office in Florida. Let's let's go down there.
But yeah. Good deal. And Rick, do we have a winner?
We have a winner. It was Bill from Cape Coral. Bill correctly guessed sailfish. Sailfish.
That's it. Okay. Woohoo!
We actually, believe it or not, which is unusual because, you know, usually we get it on the first or second. We had a couple of wrong answers. We had a couple of people say tarpon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, no? So Bill got it right. And Bill, we got a $50 gift card for you from Sportsman's Wholesale. Enjoy.
Go shopping, Bill. Yeah. And I thought for sure when I said Florida State Fish, that would be a dead giveaway.
That may have been the tease, though, right? That made me think tarpon because that's such a popular, you know, name, fish name. Here,
it is, but it's not the state fish.
Oh, well.
Yes, and we actually have a sailfish license plate here in the state of Florida that when people buy that license plate, the funding goes to kids' fishing programs, which is fantastic. A lot of people don't know that. They just see the sailfish on the license plate, and they think, oh, look at this cool artwork, look at this cool plate, but it actually goes to benefit the future of fishing.
Florida's actually a little overwhelming when you go into the tax collector's office. There's like hundreds of license plates on the wall to choose from. But so congratulations to Bill, and thank you to our awesome sponsor, Sportsman's Wholesale.
Yes, and thank you to Gator Tom for bringing in the pie. That was really nice of him. Even though he just pretty much barged in the studio.
He does, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he had forks and plates
everything. He brought everything. He was prepared.
Yeah, fantastic.
A surprising move from Gator Tom there.
Yeah. So Matt and Greg, we were talking a little bit about some of the analysis that you guys do. There's some companies out there that have, you know, they have computer-generated models or data, basically, and the fact that you guys actually have the team that sits down, the people that sit down and review the data and then work with those folks who are subscribing to your services to really provide the best information that you possibly can. So what all types of things, like how long does it take for an analyst to look through all of that data? On average, would you say?
It depends.
Does it completely vary?
It depends on which area and what what time of year, I guess. But, you know, we have a semi-regular schedule where, you know, we come in the morning, we process a lot of the satellite data, geo-reference it, calibrate the sea surface temperature, and get for different areas. We have a northeast area, a southeast U.S. area, and then a Gulf of Mexico area. And then from there, it depends on our demand that day, right? So there'll be a list of areas that need to be done that day for fishing, for our clients fishing the next day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this time of year, there may be a couple, two or three to five areas on around the United States that we have to do. But in the summertime, there's with a lot of the bigger tournaments and the range of conditions that pop up in the summertime, anywhere from Florida all the way to the northeast United States and Gulf of Mexico, there may be 20, 25 areas.
Yeah, it could be 30 plus.
30 or so.
Some in July and August.
So if the clouds cooperate, then we're there, you know, 6 or 10 hours a day doing analysis for anglers offshore the next day. But each area, some areas overlap, of course. It takes up to an hour or two for us to look at all the ingredients, all the parameters, and specifically find the
compile
best
all yep, that information.
The best conditions, put it into a analysis to send out over email.
So I would imagine that you start to see an uptick. Say, for example, right now, you know, we're starting to head into the winter months down in the Keys, which is prime sailfish
time. Is starting
There's
up
a lot
down
of sailfish
here.
Tournaments that are going on. So I'm sure you start to get busier with a lot of your customers around that time period.
Yep.
And
yep.
I would imagine the same goes for when you start to see some of the billfish tournaments up the east coast of the United States.
There's some Wahoo stuff in the Bahamas right now, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wahoo's mm-hmm. Was good fishing. I know just recently, and now in North Carolina, it's coming down to South Carolina, and it'll be down and further south.
And they just had the old, I think it was the old Bahama Bay Wahoo Classic or Wahoo Challenge this mm-hmm. past. I think it ends today.
Is it?
Full out, I think there was 40 or 50 boats fishing that. We had quite a few guys on, clients on, getting analyses for that last week.
I think it was the old Salt King of the Beach Kingfish Tournament or something was a couple of weeks ago as well out of Tampa
area. Yeah, that's a major big tournament one. In this area. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We have a few clients that use us for that.
Mm-hmm. So then when you're providing this data to these tournament anglers, to a lot of the captains who are out there fishing, you know, who have charter businesses, are you noticing most of these captains, I'm sure they know, okay, if I want to go out and my clients want to target wahoo, or if they want to target mahi or sailfish, they know that prime temperature range that they're mm-hmm. looking for in terms of those ocean surface temperatures and where those species are pretty much more likely to be.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep. It's a lot of times, you know, most guys will know, all right, this is a type of year or a time of year where we can catch mahi or sailfish.
Right.
But if they want to get down to specific areas on where those species might be, that's when they contact us, because we can put them on the stronger water mass boundaries, or, you know, where's that eddy edge, mm-hmm. which way is that water pushing inshore? If we're talking about the Gulf Stream or even the loop current,
right?
Where's those spinoff eddies and where's those filaments that are related to the Gulf Stream water? Where's that pushing inshore over good structure? And lots of times that's where bait will stack up, and that's, you know, you're looking for current sailfish, you're looking for where that current is. Where are those conditions at that day? And that's where they contact us so we can let them know where that's going to be.
Gotcha. Yeah, so then, like, specifically with the loop current here in the Gulf, are there any, I mean, Greg, I know this is what you focus on, and you're looking at all this data all the time. So are there any sort of commonalities or trends that you see? I mean, you said it's pretty highly variable from month to month, that people often think that a lot of it has to do with seasonality, but it doesn't, from what you were saying earlier. So then what is it about those species coming in during a certain time of the year? Does that make sense? Does that question make sense? I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
how to
I mean,
phrase
a,
it
a lot of it. A lot of it has to do with like we've mentioned about temperature of the water, color of the water. Depending, you know, even if the loop current isn't pushed as far north in the northeastern Gulf or east here off the west coast of Florida. You know, if you have cleaner water and you have warmer temperatures, you know, throughout the spring and into the summer, you're gonna bring those species in closer to shore. Now, depending on, you know, the location of that western or the eastern edge of the loop current or the northern edge up in the northeastern Gulf, that may have more of an effect on how close to shore those fish are. Pelagic species, you know, kingfish, blackfin tuna, wahoo, dolphin, mm-hmm. Billfish, you know, they're almost always there, but it's just, you know, how close are they? And keep in mind, it's always changing day to day. Yeah. I mean, it's
where the higher concentration is
based
on the conditions, ocean conditions.
Are they in an easier range where someone who's fishing off the Gulf Coast here would be able to get out?
Some guys, I mean, we'll have guys call us from time to time and they'll be like, hey, I'm coming out of this inlet. Here's my range. Is it even worth it for me to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I going to catch fish?
If
I, you know, within my range.
Yeah, and we have guys call us too, and they're trailering their boat, right?
Yeah,
and they're like, okay, I can go, you know, this inlet, which
one looks best?
What do the conditions look best for, you know, kingfish off of a certain inlet, and we tell them, oh, it looks best here. You know, here's what we recommend.
Mm-hmm. So are there any other like frequently asked questions that you guys, the people call in or email you about that you hear on a regular basis? I mean, what's probably like the most popular question that you get?
This isn't a popular question, but it's one that we laugh at time to time is like, can you see the fish by satellite? Some people, and maybe some of our listeners right now, we can't see the fish by satellite.
Can you see the fish or can you see weed lines too?
Yeah,
you know,
weed
some
lines.
Guys ask, can you see weed lines? Yeah. You know, there should be a weed line there. You guys can't see it with the satellite?
Yeah, so the resolution is we cannot unless we can tap into some high security government satellites.
Right.
But we can see the conditions to tell you where the best chances are based on all these parameters, and that's
right.
You know, stronger water mass breaks is a good chance a weed line is going to be there, and you know, we know that certain species prefer strong, you know, weed lines and debris like mahi, so that's what we can see. But we can't see the fish by satellite. Someday, you know, maybe years down the road when the resolution's meter.
A whole nother business if we can see the fish with satellite. I don't know.
Yeah, then it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair at all, right, for the fish.
Then you would not be having those tournament anglers able to subscribe to your service, right?
That would charge a lot more, probably, too.
Right, exactly. So so the one other thing that I wanted to ask you guys about, again, so many questions here and just never ever enough time. But when you're looking at all of this data and you're trying to put all of these pieces together, you know, you said you get a lot of captains who call in and they verify that information, that it's been productive for them. But like, talk about from a commercial fishing standpoint, like how many commercial anglers subscribe to your service and how does it work with them from a productivity standpoint?
Remarkably, we used to have a lot more commercial clients. We don't have a lot of commercial clients
really
anymore. We do have a few in the Northeast, squid fishermen.
Okay.
And longliners, but there's really not a whole lot of
longliners
out there. It's
anglers.
Mostly, I would say, 95% of our clients that order the fishing analysis are sports fishermen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably more than 95.
Fun
98 or 99.
Fun fishermen.
Which is kind of interesting because I would think that – so interesting because you would think that if your livelihood depends on getting out there and having a good haul as a commercial – offshore angler, that's really important to you as well.
We did have a client
in Grenada
that
recently
that have used us a few times this year, and we have a longliner that comes out every now and then. Now he used to use us a lot more in the Northeast, out of Cape May, New Jersey area. But yeah, most of our clients are
just the
recreational sports
anglers.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Well, we need to head off to another break. More when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Free as my footsteps, my footsteps on the ground. Certain of intention, but not where they are bound.
You're
listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host. We've got Matt Upton and Greg Golikowski from Roth's Fishing Forecast Services rolling into the final 10 minutes of Real Talk Radio here on ESPN Southwest Florida. And man, have we covered some information. So, gentlemen, what I'd like to do is, in the final 10 minutes, kind of leave folks with some ideas of resources, places they can go. I know we talked about a few of the social media channels where people can find you. You guys have a YouTube channel. You mentioned you've got a newsletter, Matt. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We have a newsletter.
And how folks can subscribe.
Newsletter called the Newsreel, R-E-E-L, and it goes out every other week on a Wednesday. So we have relevant content, news, updates from our office and from our neck of the woods, but also relevant articles, pictures, sometimes catch reports, and videos that are of interest to our clients.
List of upcoming tournaments.
Yeah, tournament lists. What else is on there? Any articles that we wrote, or lots of times
fishing articles, information about our clients, client photos that they send in to us, mm-hmm. especially over the summer. There's quite a few, just general, you know, interesting, good fishing information.
And we're open, 5 days a week, most of the year, but also Saturdays during the summer months. 'Cause that's when a lot of people fish in the weekends all over the United States. So we're open 6 days a week in the summertime.
Wow. And some Sundays for
big tournaments. Sundays for the big tournaments. And of course you can go online, www.ross.com. At social media, our Instagram and Facebook is at Roth's Fishing.
And you could always call the office too, like Matt said.
And talk to us. Yeah,
321-723-5759.
Yeah, so, and that's what I was wondering. I asked a question on break, but I'm gonna ask you again. So how often do people call in? So once they subscribe, they get the analysis from you guys. If they have questions, they're a new subscriber, do you walk through, like, will you answer their questions
sure.
and walk through that with them, especially
sure.
initially once they subscribe, to try to help them figure out how to put those pieces together?
Yep. They can always, they
it
can
sounds
always
like
call
it's
us.
Pretty self-explanatory, but
yeah, they can always call us, and we have, there's actually a button on the top of our website as well, right next to contact, that's FAQs, which are frequently asked questions. And we tried mm-hmm. to, over the past couple of years, we've tried to incorporate, put some videos up with those general questions. So that's a good starting point too. If anybody wants, you know, go on our website and get more information, look through the FAQs and visit our YouTube and watch some of those videos that are on there about the general ocean conditions. You can really get a feel of some of the imagery we're using and what goes into us providing analyses.
Yeah, 100%, because I've been watching those videos over the past week and seeing just the temperature breaks and the color changes and the before and after imagery that you guys even have up on the website is pretty, it's so telling. It's really amazing to be able to just see the difference, especially in those pre and post storm conditions, and just to see, you know, where you can find those definitive temperature breaks in a lot of cases at different times of the year. So it's pretty amazing. It's one thing to talk about it here, but when you actually look at all of that online, it all comes together.
Yep, there's a lot going on out there, and the ocean conditions change quite rapidly in some places. So if you can get a little bit of an edge, give us a call. But we also try to stay involved in the community and in conservation and science. We're members of SOCORA, Southeast Coastal Ocean Observing System, mm-hmm. and also Florida Ocean Alliance, and try to, you know, promote the new blue economy. And what else are we involved in?
So when you say promote the new blue economy, what does that mean specifically?
Well, it's supporting the infrastructure of, because the Florida, a lot of resources that we have, we're really, really blessed to have the coast and it's not just fishing, it's tourism, and we want to keep the water clean, keep the water accessible
for
years to come.
A lot of water, and it generates a lot of money, a lot of jobs for the state.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we know that very well in this part of Florida, mm-hmm. for sure. So many people come to the Gulf side of the state here because of our beaches and our fishing opportunities,
yes.
and the yep. ecosystems that we have.
It's
so
a big
it's
part
so
of life
important.
Down here.
Yeah, it's a huge,
important.
Huge part of it. So we talked a little bit about, my gosh, we covered so much here this morning. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you guys wanted to mention or cover here today? I mean, we talked about
we talked about it all pretty much. I think it was a really good informational section, I think, hopefully for your listeners and hopefully for you. Did you have any other questions for us that...
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm really interested. So you guys, when it comes to, we talked a little bit about this on break too, but when you are pulling together this data, so you're taking data, satellite imagery that's available to the general public, correct, from mm-hmm. like NOAA satellites?
Yeah, all of our data that we download, satellite data, is from, and we use buoy data and other things as well, but the satellite data is in raw form is downloadable by anybody. NOAA.
It's how you process it and what you do with it afterwards.
From the government, right. NOAA, NASA specifically, and also the European Space Agency. But it's the in-house programs that and software that we process the data.
That are proprietary to you guys.
Right. Yeah. And then put it in a picture form, right, so we can analyze it. And that's where the oceanographers come in.
Yeah, it's, I mean, really some really, really amazing and interesting stuff and some great topics that we've covered here this morning. So, folks, head on over. Your Facebook page is just Roffs, R-O-F-F-S, correct?
Yes.
It's Roff, they're all Roffs Fishing.
Roffs Fishing.
Roffs yep. Fishing. Instagram channel is the same.
Yep, correct.
YouTube
Roffs
channel
Fishing.
Is the same, so they can access all that there. Well, awesome. I mean, you guys, and what's on your agenda today? You flying back to Michigan
yeah,
today?
I fly to Fort Myers tonight, well, about 6 o'clock, so we have the afternoon to...
Oh, good for you guys. Have any relax a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, if you have any recommendations on what to do, Greg's driving back to Melbourne, Palm Bay area here probably pretty shortly, but we really, really appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
And for the hospitality, it was really cool.
No, it was my absolute pleasure. I am so glad that we made this happen, and I know that we've had a lot of, like I said, a lot of people who are really excited and interested to
Good.
Hear what
I
you guys
so.
Have had to say. So
hope we didn't bore them.
No, no. Real quick, one thing I did want to mention before we sign off, we do have the National Professional Anglers Association that's going to be coming here to Fort Myers in January. It is for those who are professional guides, captains, for those who tournament fish. So if you want more information, you can just go to npaa.org. And usually they held this event, the conference, up in the Midwest. This is going to be the first time it's been here in Southwest Florida. So those who are fishing for a living should definitely take advantage of attending and check it out for sure. And on that note, we're going to sign off. It's that time. We got to go. Thank you, Rick, the director of the show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls.
Thanks
again,
happy
Matt
Thanksgiving, everybody, coming
yeah.
up. I can't yes. believe it's Thanksgiving already.
I know.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Thank you, Greg and Matt, for being here this morning. Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
There's wind in our hair, and there's water in our shoes. Honey, it's been a lovely cruise.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.